Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
St. John Hunt with new JFK revelations and his take on our work up in Dallas this weekend, last weekend, coming up. Joe in Illinois. Yeah, you see Ron Paul, bumper stickers, road signs, billboards, things all over the country, blimps, airplanes, not even our airplanes that Ted's got up, other ones doing stuff, great job. Winning most of the text polls, all the internet polls, polls showing he's double, he only gets half. Then when he does win second place, they just lie and say he didn't. I mean, certainly the fix is in. Something's rotten in the state of Denmark. A convicted cocaine trafficker running the machines in New Hampshire. You know, cities where he got votes, getting none. That's all admitted. They just sent people to prison in Ohio. We always knew that was a fraud in 2004. But again, this is a process. We're showing people the fraud. If we don't engage them and try to vote and don't fight back, we know they're going to win. So people need to be ready for a fight. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just also wanted to say, you know, any presidential candidate or anybody running for any office, they say a lot. Everybody says a lot. You hear a lot. It all kind of sounds the same. It's all about change. But when it comes back down to it, Ron Paul is always saying exactly what, you know, nobody else is saying. It's the things that need to be said, and he really sounds like the only person in the world that listens and knows what's going on around him and is telling everybody, hey, this is how we fix it.
And every issue he supports, controlling the borders, being against abortion, they're all above 70% points now. Thanks for the call. I mean, it's also just so happens that what's constitutional is what is popular. But the system, the establishment, both parties are against that. Bill in Ohio, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Alex, you rock. You are the beacon of light in a world of darkness.
Oh,
and
please.
Media and edited media.
No,
and
you guys are.
Package
media. I love hearing from you. No, you are. Go ahead.
You rock, my friend. I love you. I wanted to point out a couple things, just really two comments. Had a friend travel to see family in the Middle East, went through Ben Gurion Airport, Israeli airport. He was interrogated like most males. He's American-born citizen, just like you and I, Alex. Pays his taxes, the whole nine. He's a good guy. Interrogated over 4 hours, literally a full-body cavity search. They printed up 5 years' worth of his phone records. They questioned him about said phone calls. When he was not sure, his phone calls were played back for him.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
only.
You know, Israel. Israel actually owns, the government owns and controls the company that controls 99%. There's a few smaller systems that don't for caller ID. The NSA is global. Everything's recorded. But see, they're introducing it to us by going, Al-Qaeda. We only listen to Al-Qaeda. No, it's everything. Go ahead.
I wanted to mention that. I believe it has something to do with Amdocs, although I'm not certain of that. There was something on YouTube. Some of your listeners can go to it. I'm not sure if that's
true. What else were they saying to him as they played back phone calls?
Played back. So not only are they doing billing, they are doing recording. They are archiving the whole nine. It's scary. I don't know if you saw it. You know, I read the Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post daily. It actually is amazing how much more information you can get out of their media. But this was on the 9th of January when Bush was over there visiting. He got a big thank you from the chief rabbi there, Metzger, who said, I want to thank you for your support of Israel and in particular for waging a war against Iraq, and Bush mentioned to him that those words, quote, warmed his heart. So I don't know if you've ever touched on the oil pipeline to Haifa, Israel. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, though.
Well, that's what it is. The Israeli plan from 83 brought into U.S. Policy is to run genocide ops in Iraq. Broken in three parts, endless war and death and destruction. That's the policy. The policy
you
is...
Rock, you rock, man. You rock.
Hey, thank you. Good to hear from you. I mean, just separately from what he said, because that's anecdotal, we already know that. The NSA is the phone company. They just have to get ready to announce it to you. Kind of like Austin's put cameras up everywhere 10 years ago. Now they're announcing they're watching you, see? Have to get around to it. It's all part of being slaves.
Hey, Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day? Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. The Late Great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, disease, and earthquakes in many places." We are living in this time of Earth's history. Many people are trying to understand the climactic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. 2 Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you do well if you take heed. But first know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible says, "We'd like you to receive this new offer, Packet B, the Unholy Alliance." These materials document the global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America in prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in the next 8 months to a year, I'm shooting for 8 months. I usually meet deadlines, but a lot's going on. I intend to release what is the definitive JFK film. We've got some other important interviews we want to do. We've done, of course, one with St. John Hunt and his wife, a son of the famous spy master in chief, E. Howard Hunt of Watergate fame, Bay of Pigs, overthrowing a whole bunch of third world countries, CIA section chief, head of Western intelligence. You know, Ethan Hunt on Mission Impossible, that's named after his father. He consulted on the films. So this is a big deal. But for our safety, because the five-minute audio tape's been out there. It's been on Coast to Coast AM. It's been here. It's been on Extra. We played that here. We're going to play a few more minutes of that today that you heard 6 months ago here, or five, 6 months ago. But there is also hours and hours of videotape. I'm just going to leave it at that. But, and again, in an audio tape, he went the furthest. And he said, "Don't release this till after I die." But he knew he could go to prison for violating his national security oath. He knew he could go to prison for speaking out about this. Or he could be convicted if he said he was involved. So he couched it. But he didn't couch it on the audio tape. He slightly couches it here in some audio from this video we're going to air that St. John's authorized us to play clips of. And then, of course, you'll see the video and a little bit more. We're not going to air all of it here in the film when it comes out. But this is too important historically, too important also to our safety. You know, St. John hadn't talked about on air some things that he went ahead and told me about on film in Dallas, Texas. And so we'll tell you about just that whole process, what it was like for him to be there, but also the fact that his home was broken into. Well, not broken into. It was they got in without breaking anything. They ransacked all the papers, tore things open, just like you see in the movies when somebody's been looking for something. Then they tried to run him off the road when he was on a highway, you know, right there in Northern California, off the cliffs. This is serious, serious business that we're talking about. It's very historical. But I just want to say I really hit it off with St. John. He's a really classy guy. His wife, Mona, is really classy. It was great to see this character with Jim Mars, who's, you know, who knew Jack Ruby, who went to his nightclub, and there's famous pictures of him, you know, dancing on the table with, you know, with the girls, Jim Mars, when he was a college student. And, of course, his photo was then used by the congressional committee in 79, the assassination committee that did find it was a government conspiracy and an assassination. Did you know the government found that? Oh, yeah, yeah. The debunkers, the Gerald Posner, never want to talk about that on television. So just amazing individuals. Jim's consulting on the film. So is St. John Hunt. And, Saint, too bad you live in California because, by the way, he has a very popular blues band. He's a fan of Jimmy Vaughn. I can't wait to get you here to Austin for the premiere. Hopefully you and Jimmy can hook up because I'm friends with Jimmy and his wife. I know Jimmy would hit it off with you because you're both classy guys. And I just want to say that I wish you lived around here because I know we'd be friends.
Well, Alex, I wish I lived around there, too, because I know we'd be even better friends than we already are. I already consider you a very close and personal friend of mine, and I think we had a great great meeting of the minds. It was great to meet Jim Mars down there, but you are one heck of a dude, man. Let me tell you.
Well, I just enjoyed meeting you. You're just a really intelligent, funny, classy guy, and of course we are friends. By friends, I mean, you know, hanging out, going to the movies, friends.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. This is not just business. We have now a personal friendship that I think is going to last, until the day it's all over.
Well, I hope that's a long time from now. Now, St. John, kind of like the same questions I asked you there at the Knoll and in the hotel room and on the building there, you know, on the top of the Hyatt overlooking Dallas, what was it like to go back to the Knoll? What was it like to come back to that place? When we picked you up for the airport, when you touched, you know, the ground, when you got into Dallas, it was Dealey Plaza. What was that whole experience like?
Well, Alex, it was truly an amazing experience for me. It was many faceted. First of all, it was once I got on the ground there at Dealey Plaza, and even from the hotel room, when I looked out over the plaza, I mean, it was just so such an awakening feeling to realize that this was exactly where I was. I'd seen so many pictures of Dealey Plaza before, and you know, seen the movie stills of the Zapruder film, but you just don't really get that concrete of an idea of how really tiny of an area it is. I mean, and this is the perfect place for an assassination. When I was looking out over Dealey Plaza from the hotel room, it struck me like a lightning bolt of how well this operation was planned. This was no fly by night, last minute, seat of your pants, gumshoe operation where somebody just grabbed a rifle and ran from their house and just you know, threw something to get the last minute. This was a completely professionally planned operation, and being there in Dealey Plaza not only was eye opening for me, but it was extremely emotional for me. This was an incident that affected well, not only myself, but I mean the entire nation and at large the entire world. To be there talking about this, to go up to the grassy knoll, to be behind the picket fence, to see the railroad tower where Lee Bowers saw the two assassins from the rear as they fired the fatal headshot. I mean, this was just incredible stuff. It was just a very moving, very emotional, and very eye-opening for me.
Your assessment of Jim Mars?
Jim Mars, what a character that guy is. He has got to be the most, he's got to be the authority on the final word. He's the most profoundly intelligent, and I respect him greatly for his vast knowledge of the details surrounding all aspects of not only the JFK assassination, but of 9/11 and the Bilderberg conspiracy, and just many, many, many details in our history. I thought he was personally, he was a great guy, kind of a feisty Texan. He likes to have a beer, and I like to have a beer with him. And he's just easy to talk to. He's just authoritative. He mixes no words. He talks, he shoots straight from the hip. I mean, he's just a great, great guy and a smart, intellectually savvy individual. Very, very nice man.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart. I really, again, enjoyed meeting your wife. I'm just really personalizing this because it was personal for me. The courage that you guys have doing this. I hate to bring your mother up, but it's such an integral part of the story. I mean, they blew her up coming into Midway Airfield, coming into Chicago. They told you guys to shut up. Just the stories in person of you during Watergate when you're carrying money around for your dad from being followed by the FBI. Just all of it. Let's go ahead and get into JFK now. And then coming up in the next segment, I'm going to play first some clips from the audio that was already released and then some of the audio from the video that's never before. This is its maiden voyage here on air today. But let's talk about something that people don't know or haven't heard before. I mean, really, because I wouldn't call you a shy guy, but, you don't, say it all just in one run. You had your place broken into. You had somebody try to run you off the road days before and then after some events that happened when the Rolling Stone cover story came out. I mean, with detail, talk about your place, what happened.
Well, I had just moved into to a house with a friend of mine, and this was April 2007. That's when the Rolling Stone article broke, Last Confession of E. Howard Hunt. It was within 3 days of that that story breaking that somebody had slipped in without breaking anything, actually, just kind of like swept in from through the wind and rifled all the paperwork in all the rooms in that house, gone through all of my stuff, gone through all of my roommate's stuff, and there was no jewelry missing, there was no DVDs missing, no television, no stereo sets were stolen, everything was accounted for, but all the paperwork, all the files had been ransacked and pulled out, and all the manila envelopes had been opened up and strewn about. So, I mean, it was obvious that they weren't there, whoever was there, they weren't looking for jewelry or, any items that you could take to a pawn shop and pawn. So it didn't seem like it was a normal break-in, some drug-crazed, drug addict coming in to steal stuff. So it seemed kind of really creepy to me. And then, of course, a few days after that, I was driving home alone. It was late at night, about 11 p.m., and I was taking a kind of lonely stretch of highway by the coast called Samoa Boulevard. And it's not a route I usually take, but I did notice that when I left the parking lot of Mona's home, where I was visiting with her before we moved in, I picked up a tail of somebody behind me with a car that was parked on the street, followed me all the way from her place all the way to the little town of Arcata, and then from there I take another street, another road that goes to this little stretch of highway that has no lights or anything. It's very desolate out there. It's right by Humboldt Bay. And they tried to run me off the road. I mean, they damn near succeeded. It was very frightening. Very
just
scary.
Like in the movies, they were accelerating right up on your tail, coming up beside you. You finally pulled over. You sit on a tiny piece of sand right just right on a cliff.
Right on the very edge. And they just came up really fast behind me. I thought they were going to smash right into me. And I accelerated as much as I could in my car. But and then they backed up a little. They backed off a little bit. They dropped their speed, and then they came back for another charge. And I just knew. I just felt these guys were going to just bumped me right off the road, and that was going to be the end of me. So I swerved off the side at the very last minute, and my car was just on the very precipice of the edge there.
St. John Hunt, stay there. Worldwide exclusive audio straight ahead with the son of E. Howard Hunt, St. John Hunt. We'll be right back.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg. Couldn't their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the new world order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or Infowars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame. Blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new 2-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
All right, this is a short segment. I want to re-air part of the original tape. This is an audio tape. We're going to come back, have St. John comment on the audio tape. Then we're going to play the new audio off the new video never before heard. Again, here is the introduction.
I heard from Frank that LBJ had designated Gordon Meyer Jr. to undertake a larger organization while keeping it totally secret. Gordon Meyer himself was a rather favored member of the Eastern aristocracy. He was a graduate of Yale University and had joined the Marine Corps during the war and lost an eye in the Pacific fighting. I think that LBJ settled on Meyer as a as an opportunist, Perrin like himself, a Perrin, and a man who had very little left to him in life ever since JFK had taken Cord's wife as one of his mistresses. I would suggest that Cord Meyer welcomed the approach from LBJ, who was, after all, only the vice president at that time. And, of course, could not number Cord Meyer among JFK's admirers. Quite the contrary. As for Dave Phillips, I knew him pretty well at one time. He worked for me during the Guatemala project. He made himself useful to the agency in Santiago, Chile, where he was an American businessman. In any case, his actions, whatever they were, came to the attention of the Santiago station chief. And when his resume became known to people in the Western Hemisphere Division, he was brought in to work on Guatemalan operations. Spurs and Morales and people of that ilk stayed in apartment houses during preparations for the big event. Their addresses were very subject to change, so that where a fellow like Morales had been one day, you would not necessarily associated with that same address the following day. In short, it was a very mobile experience. Let me point out at this point that if I had wanted to fictionalize what went on in Miami and elsewhere during the run-up for the big event, I would have done so. But I don't want any unreality to tinge this particular story, or the information, I should say. I was a bench warmer on it, and I had a reputation for honesty. I think it's essential to refocus on what this information that I've been providing you, and you alone, by the way, consists of. What is important in the story is that we've backtracked the chain of command up through Cord Meyer and laying the doings at the doorstep of LBJ. He, in my opinion, had an almost maniacal urge to become president. He regarded JFK as he was, in fact, an obstacle to achieving that. He could have waited for JFK to finish out his term and then undoubtedly a second term. So that would have put LBJ at the head of a long list of people who were waiting for some change in the executive branch.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to play the rest of the new information never before heard. Again, we got about 30 seconds, but St. John, through the chronology, there's the written notes with the chain of command. There is this audio tape and the videotape. Give us the chronology of what came first.
Well, the first thing that came about was the audio tape. My father sent me that audio tape without any warning. It just appeared in my mailbox, and I was stunned when I put it in my cassette deck. There was no explanation with it. That prompted me to fly down to Miami and speak with my father in
person. Stay there. We got a break. We'll come back in Miami.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
It's progressing, and it's only a short time until it's completely taken over every aspect of your life. We are entering martial law. There are 10 telling signs of martial law. America has them all. Use the short time left to protect you and your family with the vital information in this book. Find this infobomb online in book form at survivemartiallaw.com. This book will tell you everything you need to know and how to prepare. Know exactly what you'll need to have hidden to live and how to survive under severe martial law. The worst part of martial law is in the beginning stages. SurviveMartialLaw.com will show you how to act around controlling troops, where to store life-saving supplies, and what to look for. Surviving can be difficult, but possible. Arm yourself with the knowledge, as this is the only weapon you will have to protect your family. Go to SurviveMartialLaw.com or call 608-819-8011. Act today, as there will be no warning.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care and cardio maintenance. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by Jim Strauss after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. As a seventh-generation herbalist, Jim knew that there were herbs that had a long tradition of heart, blood, and circulation properties, and that there had to be another option besides going under the knife. Jim said no and began working on a formula to better himself and others. After he perfected the mixture of herbs and spices, he created Strauss Heart Drops. Get the Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.95. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you really can do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Call now.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
St. John Hunt, firstborn son of E. Howard Hunt. He just mailed his son this tape. Thought he was dying in 2004. St. John flew out there. He did finally die last year. And in the space of that time, he did handwritten notes with a command structure of LBJ at the top, right through Kordmeyer and the rest of them. And now there's this video, quite a bit of it, his whole life, CIA, OSS, World War II, before that, right through everything, sniping on the Yalu River, all of it. But you're going to hear a few minutes today, never before heard, and Aaron has selected these clips out. Aaron, specifically, just so St. John knows what clips we're about to play so he can comment on them, Aaron, specifically, tell folks about some of the clips we've got here.
Primarily, we're looking at E. Howard Hunt discussing LBJ's roles and motivations. He wanted the power of the presidency and directly implies he was hooked up with William Harvey, a top CIA agent, who Howard Hunt himself says was several ranks above Howard Hunt's level.
And then about Oswald, he says that he was basically a low-level nobody, so he was easy to burn.
Yeah, that clip's not in here, though. but that's on the tape.
Oh, I want that clip. Can you, during the next break, maybe run out and send it up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Fantastic. St. John Hunt, you led him to the point of you're in Miami. You fly out there after he sends you the tape. Go ahead.
Yeah, I received the tape from him, and I was stunned and shocked at what he was telling me on this on the cassette tape that you played part of. So I flew down to Miami, and during the next week we managed to have some time alone, not too much, but in the very short amount of time we had alone, he wrote out in his own hand on some memo paper. The chain of command and then a more detailed chronology starting in 1963 about meetings he had with David Morales and Frank Sturgis concerning a larger operation called the Big Event, which was headed by Bill Harvey to assassinate President Kennedy. After that, I flew back to California, and then it was in April 2005 that I flew again to Miami to conduct what was to become his last video interview, which I filmed in a hotel on Miami Beach with my father. I think you're going to play some clips from that.
Yeah, we're going to play clips. I'll just abruptly stop it. You can comment, then St. John, and I'll probably have some comments, and Aaron's got some. Let's go ahead and start rolling that.
And we know that LBJ had an unlimited ambition, and we know that he was a corrupt individual, and that the dollar sign was very important to him. As vice president, he didn't have the leverage that a president did or would, and so that was an attractive goal for LBJ. In other words, he did not want his career to come to an end as vice president. I think it was very, very important to him that he take advantage as to the extent that he could as vice president, because just a few things had to be accomplished. He had to kill Kennedy, or have him killed, I should say, and be guilt free himself, that he could go on and do what he wanted to do as president of the United States. It was a very tempting and almost a logical move on his part. It wouldn't have been hard for him to talk to. I keep thinking about Bill Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Call Harvey and say, look, there are some things I want to have done. And I think Harvey didn't want just another, an additional CIA salary. He wanted to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And LBJ could do that for him. If he were president,
right,
he couldn't do much for Harvey or anybody as vice president. It doesn't speak well for our democracy at that particular time, but I think that it happened just that way. LBJ, who got people, got officers who would who had the ability, the skill, to go ahead and do what he wanted done, even if it involved the presidency of the United States.
All right. Now, I think it's clear to explain here. We've got written notes that basically mesh with the audio, and then on video, he's obviously now a little more conflicted. He's a little more conscious that this is going to be actual video of him, and believe me, it's powerful.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned even having this here in my office. We've got copies everywhere now. You do, too. We're doing this mainly for our safety right now. But you can tell that he's a bit conflicted, holding back a little bit here, but still the power of this actually being video. St. John Hunt comments. I mean, he's talking about the incredible avarice, the desire here, wanting to be the president, he was going to be too old to wait. Give us your take.
Well, I think you put it very well there, and I think my father, it was very very concerned about actually going on videotape with this, but he had agreed to do this in the previous year with me, and by the time I got back to him in Florida, he had undergone a tremendous amount of. He had withstood a tremendous amount of pressure from his immediate family that lived with him down there.
This was the second family after your mother was blown up and after he got out of prison for Waterloo.
Right, right. You have to understand also that that my father, of course, had testified twice before congressional and Senate investigative committees and stated under oath that he had no... no knowledge whatsoever on the assassination of President Kennedy.
You knowing. Had testified.
And I had testified on my father's behalf during the Watergate investigation, the hearings in
Washington, D.C. That's a good point. That's a good point to bring up now, that just recapping how that night he pulls you out of bed, has you clean the equipment, has you go throw it in the water there near the Potomac in the pond. And about how you saw all these guys, Sturgis and others, and then in Watergate, supposedly, he just met them. Talk about that.
Well, yeah. When my father testified under oath, if he had known Frank, when he had met Frank Sturgis, the running story was that he had met Frank through Bernard Barker, one of the other Cubans from Miami. And that was what the story was that my father went with, and he never admitted that he'd known Frank since before the Kennedy assassination. But on these handwritten memos, and to me personally, he admitted that he had met Frank many, many years before during some of the run-ups for the Bay of Pigs, some of the exile meetings. And also during these run-up meetings for the big event, which was the operational code word for the assassination of President Kennedy. Yeah.
And in this ongoing cover-up, you believe, and even mainstream media says it's obvious that they blew your mother's plane up coming into Chicago.
Well, I do certainly think that there's enough conspicuous information that at least should mandate another investigation. I think it's very it goes beyond coincidence. When you have one or two things that sort of happen at the same time, you could call it coincidence. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist of any kind, or a conspiracy nut or anything like that. I'm just a very sort of simple person. Put my 40 hours of work in a week and. But when you have what I've learned over the years, when you have a mounting amount of things that take place immediately after something like that plane crash, when you have President Nixon installing Eagle Krogh as the number one man in the National Transportation and Safety Board the day after that plane came down, when you have Dwight Chapin, who became a board member of United Airlines within a few weeks of that, when you have the FBI breaking into the command tower and stealing the audio tapes, which had the conversations between the cockpit crew of that flight and the tower there,
and the FBI airport. Showing up right as it blew up, already they're having the plane specially diverted to a pretty much shut down airfield. Now expanding from there, your mother also had something on her at the time, didn't she?
Yes, she did have something on her. She had evidence that she and my father were using to pressure the Nixon White House, what they called blackmail, but what my father never agreed that it was blackmail. And in fact, he always claimed that there was an unspoken and unwritten bond, like an oath between in the intelligence community, where if you're on an op for for your superiors, if you're doing something and you get caught, if you're doing something illegal or in a foreign country, even domestically, if you're caught or exposed or anything happens to you, your family gets taken care of.
Well, we have the Nixon tapes where he's going, how much does Hunt need?
$1 million.
He goes, we can get that.
That's right. And shortly thereafter, my mother was the sort of the paymaster. She was going around picking up large sums of cash that had been stashed.
She had been in intelligence too, and even previously been married to a French prince.
Yeah, she had. She had been involved in intelligence. She was working for Averill Harriman. She was tracking Nazi loot and art and gold across Europe. She was worked in Shanghai. Matter of fact, she was on the last train out of Shanghai when China fell to the communists. And she had a large
Go ahead. She had a large.
She had a couple suitcases of cash, and she had a really nice little pearl-handled 32 that she showed me.
It's clear we're going to do another hour in the near future just to tell all these stories. They're all so incredible. It's such amazing history. The Bay of Pigs, the Cuba stuff, the attempted assassinations, all the other materials, the info about the overthrow of other third world countries like Guatemala. But the big question here I've got for you, and I should have asked you this beforehand so you could think about it, and if you need the break to think about it, that's fine. We're going to play a few more clips here in a minute. But did your father off video or off tape or off, ever say anything else separate? I mean, we know growing up he'd say, yeah, we need to kill all the Kennedys and, finish the job, kill them all, and, yeah, great, Bobby got it. I mean, not just that stuff, but did he ever say anything else before he died about, yeah, we killed him, or was it all just on tape?
No, we had a lot of side conversations. For example, when we left his house where I was staying with him in Miami, in North Miami, and we were on our way to the Holiday Inn there on Miami Beach to tape the section of a videotape where he talks about LBJ and the JFK assassination. I didn't know how much he was at that point, how much he was going to admit or how much information he was going to actually be willing to be filmed divulging.
Because he wouldn't even tell Kevin Costner when he'd been at the house, but go ahead.
No, he wouldn't tell anybody, and as it says on the audio tape, that he gave this, entrusted this information to me and to me alone. That was quite remarkable in itself, having been the black sheep of the family for so many years. But being that as it may, we had many deep and serious conversations about how conflicted he was in all this, and he went back and forth from wanting to divulge the truth to not wanting to, and then of course I'd have to.
What would he say? I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to hurt my family. I mean,
he would say exactly those things. He said, "I don't want to hurt my family. I ruined my first family. Your mother died because of all this stuff that I was involved in. You children have had to bear the burden of shame and guilt. Surrounding his activities, and because of his activities, and his second family was really a new birth for my father, E. Howard Hunt. It was a new beginning, and he did not want to tarnish their lives or affect their lives or their name in any way.
But you told me that this is just too historical. That's the reason you're doing it. And in the end, why do you think he did it?
In the end, I think he did it because he knew that it was of such a huge historical significance, and I think he wanted, at the very end, he wanted to get this information out, even if it was just, just part of the story, which I don't think I know he didn't tell me the whole story, but I think he was brave enough to tell me what he told me. And and then of course he states that I was to do with this information what I thought was necessary, and so that's what I'm doing with this. I want to bring it to the world.
And that was that. Well, we thank you for that. Let's finish up with this first clip. We're going to come back with another. Here it is.
Okay.
And that was what LBJ really wanted. There was nobody with the leverage that LBJ had. No competitor at all.
Sure.
He was the vice president, and if he wanted to get rid of the president, that he had ability to do so by corrupting different people in CIA. Mm-hmm. And he had to do it with the limitations of CIA because there was no other group that honored, if I could use that term, honored the clandestine limitations the way CIA did.
Well, let's put this together a little bit. I mean, you've said now that David Phillips apparently met with Oswald in Mexico City before the assassination. You've said that Bill Harvey may very well have recruited a French or Corsican gunman to shoot. And you've also said that Cord Meyer had a motive in that his wife was having an affair with John F. Kennedy. So now you have three CIA officials who had, let's say, the means, motive, and opportunity, or, you know, or some connection to kill Kennedy.
That's true.
So if that's the case, then, I mean, there had to be one person sort of in charge, so to speak. I mean, wouldn't that have been...
Be Harvey?
Yep. I see. And they would, Phillips and the others would take orders from Harvey?
Well, if he was in that chain, yes. Because Harvey had the seniority. But I think that LBJ was an opportunist. And if...
It is a big idea. A new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg. Couldn't their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the New World Order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphelisa.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame. Blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calbin Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calbin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calbin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrate for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calbin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
On September 11, 2001, the New World Order hijacked our government and began the process of trying to destroy the United States of America. If we, the American citizens, do not intervene immediately, they will succeed. It is time we stand together now and make our voice heard. At RightToRedress.com, we have the solution. We write congressional letters for you and organize powerful campaigns that will get results and hold Congress responsible to the voters and laws of this country. Get our weekly newsletter and join thousands of other patriotic citizens in a collective demand for a new 9/11 investigation, a stop to the North American Union and the collapse of our economy. For less than 5 cents a day, we will provide you with all the tools you need to use your First Amendment rights in a proven and effective way. We need every concerned U.S. citizen to join us and be heard in Washington now. We can take back our government if we all work together. Join us at www.righttoredress.com. That's right to redress.com.
We don't need no education.
Look, there's going to be a part two to this interview where we flesh out the hour of video we've got and play a few other clips in the weeks to come and have St. John Hunt back on. I've got a few other questions for you, and so does Aaron Dykes. You had a chance to meet up in Dallas. But St. John, before you go any further, plug your website, and you've done a videotape presentation about all this that I think historically our listeners need to purchase and need to get. Plus, all the work and energy and time you put into this is basically broken. You're not a rich guy yourself. You work in, you know, therapy, helping people who are quadriplegics. And I hope people will financially support you by getting the DVD interview presentation you did. It's excellent. Give people the website and tell them how they can order it.
Well, you can go on my website, which is stjohnhunt.com, and on that website you'll be able to hear the audio confession that my dad sent me in 2004, as well as you know, some other things if you just sort of click around. But there'll be a place you can click on there to order the DVD. It's an interview with me that I did last year. It's a highly personal interview. Just been talking about life with my father, what it was like to be around him, and the series of events that led up to his confession.
Folks can just type St. John Hunt into Google, and it's the top link that pops up. But specifically, give them the web address.
www.stjohnhunt.com, and that's spelled out S-A-I-N-T-J-O-H-N-H-U-N-T.
Saint, can I get you back up next week or the week after that for another hour interview for part two, because there's too much to cover here?
Alex, anytime. You say when and where, and I'll be there.
You're awesome. Aaron's in here. We got only 2 or 3 minutes left. Aaron, any questions or comments, points you want to make?
Well, I noticed there's a statement in the original that we had backtracked the chain of command to the doorstep of LBJ. Is there anything your father said about the powers behind that throne? I know Jim Mars references all the Council of Foreign Relations members in LBJ's administration.
And that meeting the night before in Dallas.
Yeah, the Murchison meeting.
I don't remember specifically. I'd have to review some of the extensive videotape I have to see if he's on camera saying what were the powers behind LBJ. But I think it was just it was something that that he knew and that he knew I knew, and it was something that he wasn't really, you know, specifically, at least on the tapes that I gave you guys, was, you know, spoke about. I think he was sort of starting at LBJ, but I think it was expected that he knew people realized that obviously LBJ was a single person, a vice president, that he, you know, that he needed to be supported by the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Council of Foreign Relations and all these other, you know, very powerful organizations in the world.
Well, we know he fired L.L. Lemonster when he wanted to stage terror attacks in the U.S. That's even come out on Frontline. We know he was abolishing the CIA, getting the troops out of Vietnam, getting us out of the Federal Reserve. I mean, he did everything to make the establishment angry.
Yes, indeed.
StJohnHunt.com. In the minute we've got left, anything else you'd like to add, St. John?
Well, it was just a thrill to meet you down in Dallas there, Alex. I think you're a great guy. Jim Mars was terrific. Your whole crew was wonderful to work with. Aaron, Rob, and all those guys. Just a great bunch of guys you got there working with you. And it was just a great pleasure. My wife and I had a wonderful time. We did some hard work. And
it was snowing the first day we had you guys out there.
32 degrees, and my teeth were chattering there in Dealey Plaza. I hope it didn't come off that way.
Yeah, it was great.
No, it came out wonderful. You look great. It came across great. You and Jim out there when it was freezing cold for 2 days, but it looked great.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call you right after the show, St. John. Have a great weekend. Say hi to Mona for me.
Sure,
you want to say something, Aaron?
Yeah, great to meet you also, St. John. It was really interesting.
Aaron, great to meet you. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, St. John. St. John, I'm going to call you in about 3 minutes. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. If you missed any of the first hour of the financial and political analysis, it restarts at InfoWars.com. So we'll be right back at InfoWars.com. You want to go there on the streams, to our main streams, where we re-air 21 hours a day till the next live show. And I'll be back Sunday live, 4 to 6 p.m. with the Sunday edition. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be on Coast to Coast AM for 3 hours tonight and tomorrow at TalkFest.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Our beloved.